risk and work, we only have a case of it's going to appear in the JPEG. So this is the outline of the talk. But first, we'll give the motivation of our work and show you the model setup, then do electronic precision test. Then also talk about phenomenology, then also briefly talk about preliminary results of the thermal sector. Then I'll come to the conclusion. So as we know, standard model is the benchmark model of particle physics based on gauge symmetry. Let's use three color across as the definite. However, the story is incomplete. The WZ bosons and fermions are massive, telling us that electric gauge symmetry is not exact. The origin massive particles. For most of existing solutions, the question of mass origin is equivalent to ask what's the mechanism of break of fundamental electrical symmetry by Higgs. Here we implicitly assume that there are WZ are elementary gauge bosons that are massless in the symmetric space. However, there are questions to ask that is there alternative route to mass origin beyond this paradigm?
Alternative mean to the Higgs mechanism or alternative to an elementary gauge?
The general Higgs mechanism. And even though we don't have elementary Higgs, we still have.
Right, so you're thinking alternative in the sense of it would be like more models.
Yeah, also.
That category.
Yeah, also. So it might be helpful to briefly review the existing models. We have a elementary case where the electronic scale is stabilized by SUSY, and there's a dynamical SUSY breaking sector figures. Also, there are composite cases, including their 5D dual model, where the case is the pseudo ghost boson of characteristics of strong breaking sector. They are also technicolor like cases models in their 5D dual. Basically, you have a strong technicolor sector, and it's bigness because there's the heavy signal couple. So, common features of all these existing models. One is to naturally solve the gauge gravity problem, not just to stabilize the scale. To generate this GV mass gap, needs the dimensional transmutation, require an external sector beyond the standard model with confining strong dynamics. And most of the standard model fields, especially gauge fields, stay elementary. And they are spectators of strong dynamics, but not participants. They acquire mass by external coupling to this concept. So here, a wild curiosity is why this strong dynamics that's almost inevitable to generate this mass gap has to be external. Why not something underlying the standard model? To some extent, this might be more economic and direct. Actually, this is not so wild. We already see familiar examples from QCD. Nets on the variables of composites that get mass directly from quark confinement. Especially, there's a vector rho meson acts like a massive gauge field of spontaneously broken hidden local symmetry. I'll talk more about this later. So here, one curiosity is, could our current view of standard model similar to seeing mesons and variables before the discovery of QCD quarks and gluons? Maybe the standard model are composites of new underlying constituents, and they get mass directly generated from confinement. So this gives them alternative origin of mass, where the electroweak symmetry breaking we usually talk about might be an IR emergent. And the true answer to the mass mystery may open up a deeper substructure in nature. So in the motivation part, I want to talk more on the emergent gauge theory. So emergent gauge theory, gauge symmetry or its breaking, or to talk about some composite gauge boson, is conceptually innocuous, even inspiring. Because we know that gauge symmetry like global symmetry is not the true symmetry of nature. They only reflect redundancy in your description. We also find some theoretical example. For example, cyber duality in SUSY context, you can have a magnetic gauge theory emerges at a composite level with the same IR physics as the original electric, the original fundamental electric gauge theory. So this discovery also suggests that gauge symmetry may not be fundamental, and some gauge symmetries in the standard model or even general relativity could be long-distance artifacts. Besides this conceptual motivation and theoretical example, we already see realistic example from QCD, the hidden local symmetry. Here's an intriguing story of QCD Romanzon. QCD Romanzon is a three-vector boson in SQ2 vector triplet. They obtain almost degenerate mass from QCD confinement. There's a very interesting phenomenology about this Romanzon. First is they have almost universal coupling to matter. You can see here. And the Romanzon dominance of hadron electromagnetic form factor can be easily explained with rho gamma mass mixing. And we also see the rho dominance of prime prime scattering. A new theory to describe all these observations in one framework is to interpret Romanzon as a dynamical gauge boson of spontaneously broken hidden local symmetry. This is first conjectured by Sakurai in 1960. Nependo, Nana Bita, etc., has a highly cited paper in 1985. So here we already see some remarkable similarity of Romanzon to WZ in the electro weak theory. First, there's an unbroken pyrosymmetry in QCD. This is the diagonal SU2 global, acts like a custodial symmetry that ensures these degenerate Romanzon masses when there's no rho gamma mixing. And if you look at this paper, you can find that rho gamma mixing is in exactly the same pattern as W3 mixing, e-mixing in electro theory. Hence, leads this rho zero and rho charge matrix. So here we have to ask the question, could electro weak symmetry breaking be another example of emergent gauge theory, and WZ are composites as rho nano? Historically, inspired by QCD Romanzon, there are early attempts in the 1980s by Abi and Fahi, Yanagita, Suzuki, etc. But at the time, there's limited calculability for a strongly coupled model. And also, it's well before precision data from lab, so that you can do a realistic test for a theory. So our goal is towards a realistic composite WT model with good calculability using the powerful modern tool ADS-CFT. Then we can test it by the precision electron data. another bonus for this scenario is that it might provide a novel solution to another important question as well, that is the unitization of high energy WW spectrum. With the composites, the high energy amplitude might be controlled by an overall form factor suppression, but the existing mechanism is mostly at the new states like Higgs to and the related graph to cancel the divergence. So now we come to the model setup part. First is the organizing principle and assumptions. This is a ADS QCD duality dictionary that's useful for the model building. ADS FT correspondence suggests a strongly coupled 4D conformal gauge theory is due to a weakly coupled 5D gravity theory. CMT with a UV cutoff and breaks at IR is due to a warped 5D model of RS1 type built on the size of ADS5. And global symmetry related to the emergence of phase symmetry at IR. And CFT and unbroken at IR is due to a 5-degree symmetry broken on UV ring but preserved on IR ring. And composite gauge broken in 4D is due to 50 modes of the 5D gauge fields peaking towards the IR ring. Here, 2 points to keep in mind now is first, to ensure robust weakly coupled bracket dual, we implicitly assume that 4D size is larger and larger mode coupling. So it's unlikely asymptotically free QCD. I'll talk about some interesting phenomenology about this later. The second point is in our model, the 5D electrode with phase symmetry is broken at UV. This is different from RS and all the existing work models where the symmetry breaking occurs on IR. The simple picture to understand this is you can still imagine you first have a flat zero mode in your bulk as a would-be elementary gauge field. And then you turn on the heat on at the Planck frame, which is a Planck scale. This would be zero mode get Planck scale mass upon the symmetry breaking at UV. So they decouples when you look at low energy physics at TV. The TV physics in standard model is described by light decay modes, where we identify the WZ as the lightest decay modes. So here is we start the detailed model building. To get a realistic mass spectrum, we meet a serious challenge at the beginning. Composite WZ as the first decay mode. Since we identify the composite WZ as the first decay mode, according to the spectrum in neural RS type model, the decay modes are evenly spacing. So we expect the next decay to be of 200 GeV. And this light mass severely constrains the lag on the C5. So this means that on the 4D side, WZ has to be some special light mode versus the typical the confinement or the typical resonance scale at TED. This existence of a special light mode well above the normal the confinement scale is not really crazy. For example, in QCD, we have this ion in the mass much lower than the QCD scale or the typical resonance scale. The reason is they are suitable for motion. So the question how to realize this special light mode in 5D model. We need a distorted spectrum with ultralight first decay. One scheme to realize this is to turn on frame connector. This scheme is inspired by some earlier work where they trying to get a light W5 and C5 compatible with experimental bounds in RS, but there are still elementary standard model problems.
Are you going to be showing this stuff in more detail as you go along?
Hmm?
Will you be telling us about that in more detail as you go along?
Which?
This last stuff about the frame connector.
Yeah.
Does it serve this? So this.
Next slide.
So this challenge you mentioned, is it kind of general? I mean, even just to compare to the QCD analogy. It's sort of same thing, right? Because if you want to imagine these WSEs are some composite state or some underlying QCD, and you expect, like in QCD, you expect lots of other masses of the same, with the mass of in the same range, which is probably related to this.
Yeah, so that's why you have to establish.
Right, so that's why it's not so. That's the major difficulty, I guess, to copy the QCD story to here, because, is that right?
Yeah,
because you only observe that many three states rather than huge tower of the state we see.
You need something like human form.
Right. State, right. You need a big you need a big separation.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if this boundary can allow 200 SDK, then we can just work on URIs. We need to. And because the URI spectrum without great connector automatically is evenly spaced.
Do you need the brain kinetic terms, or you may just play with the geometry and make this become? Because, you know, people populate this geometry with all crazy fields, right? But, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, this brain kinetic term is one of the possibilities you can realize a special LIGO. There might be other possibilities. So the brain net term is a generally expected at tree level according to the 4D concurrent symmetry on the brains. And even absent at tree level, there are work that's showing the no correction to the propagator once your base field have interaction with brain matter with the mount side term as a counter term because of the block divergence. The NBA estimation of the size of brain connector is a few times of the curvature neural scale. But the larger size is also perturbatively consistent according to this work. So our attitude is to take the brain connector term as a free parameter in inductive field theory, but fix it later by fixing the matrix and the data requirement. Of course, it's interesting to consider UV composition of the size of this parameter space. So,
can I ask again? Yeah. So is that all you're going to tell us about the brain kinetic term? I'm hoping there'll be a formula sometime where I can see is this big, is this small, what's it look like? Are we talking about the Maxwell action on the brain? Or what's the, will you be telling us in more detail what the Lagrangian is later?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'll wait for that.
So in the 5D model, we consider a slice of ABA as a fine space time compactified on day 2 nanometers. In the UV brain of sound scale and the IR brain at UV scale. So we have the 5D with symmetry and with the associated 5D gauge fields and the 5D gauge couplings. These field strands. And the electromagnetic symmetry breaking occurs on UV brain by boundary condition. The full symmetry is preserved on IR, but we add brain kinetic term compatible with the brain symmetry. We add the U1Q brain kinetic term on UV and for SU2 and U1 on IR. Here is the 5D action. And you can see this is the bulk part and this is the brain kinetic term. The boundary conditions that can implement the symmetry breaking pattern we need and also the brain kinetic term effects so after the CK decomposition, we get a mass spectrum and profiles for the largest states. We have a flat zero mode exists as the center model photon, which is elementary. And the lattice of KK modes, L3 and B, is the standard model Z boson, approximately with the mass in this formula. And there's no zero mode for W tower, because it's pure virtual UV. And so there is the first KK modes as standard model W boson, and the mass is approximately
So the elementary gauge fields are a component of the Z, a component of the SU2, and the component of the B.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you go back and so the parameters are it was too fast for me. So the zetas are coming from the brain kinetic terms, I guess, right? So
zeta.
And L and Y is just to do with SU2 for SU1.
L is SU2L. Y is 2-1-1.
Okay, LA versus L3. So in the middle line, you've got GY5, FL3. What's the difference between FL3 and FLA?
Looking at the action, the second line.
So there's a 3 in that one, there's an A in the one in the S.
It's still in that mixing two with the hypertrophy of the photon.
This is 1-3.
So the idea is that the gauge group is explicitly broken on the UV brain?
Yeah.
So it's not a matter of just breaking the symmetry with boundary conditions. You're just writing a non-gauge invariant action on the UV frame.
You could write that the other terms so that they vanish by the boundary condition.
Oh, is that what's going on?
That's what you meant with the there's no, the first KK mode for the W tau is massive, so that's what's killing that little pieces off.
Yeah,
I see.
And the choice you're making is you're making zeta L large and zeta Y not large, or something like that. Is that what's happening? Okay. Ricky, do we come back to the formula of the mass formula? Because the thing is, you're designing this to make the first state light, right?
Yeah.
So the first state is light because, looking at the W mass, it looks like that's why zeta to the left is right, is large, right?
Yeah.
But then once you get that large, how do you make the Z? You make both zeta q is large to make the mz piece light too?
This beta is the ratio gl versus gy. So, this part is the splitting. This term tells you the splitting between mz and w.
Right, and you want all those things to be small compared to a typical Kluze-Klein scale, right?
Yeah.
And so that means everybody in those formulas is small, and so inside the square root, the splitting is small because the zeta q is large, or because beta is large?
Zeta
q is large. And then how big is a generic Kluze-Klein state? If I just
take it.
But not parametrically as a function of these numbers. If I looked at the first excited state,
mm-hmm.
how does it depend on zeta?
When you add a right-hand term, it distorts into the higher KK mass spectrum. There's some shift, but the typical scale is still TV.
And is there an easy way to see why just the first state is light and then the second one's not?
Yeah. In the appendix of our paper, we have some more transparent relation why this is light. The reason is that you can start without breaking a term, and you have some the kinetic term matrix from the mass matrix of this taking loads. Then once you add the boundary kinetic term, you add the boundary kinetic mixing between the original taking loads. Then when you diagonally economically normalize this taking loads with the breaking term, then you diagonalize your kinetic term matrix with those all that no mixing piece, and then you find that there's one mode that gets a larger wave function normalization.
Why just one? Why not more than one? Is there a symmetry that's emerging in that limit? I know you're saying it's an emergent gain symmetry, but if I was just doing Kluze-Klein theory and not thinking in terms of strong interactions, is there a symmetry I can see that's emerging in that limit that I've never seen before?
Do you have SU2 cross U1 going into U1 of X magnitude?
Yeah, it's not really me.
How do you fit that?
It's from the home region.
Before you answer this question, can you answer my question? So the question is, why is it that, because you said very convincingly that there's a the challenge of these models is that generically you're expecting inclusive finite states that are evenly spaced. That's not what you see because the WZ is light compared to the FX state. So you're doing this kinetic terms to make the lattice state systematically light compared to everybody else. And so I see your formula for the first state, but you haven't written the formula for the second state. And I don't understand why when you turn on the brain kinetic term, you're only pulling one state down, not pulling them all down.
Oh, the thing is, it's not really correct to think about when I add the vertex term, I really take the original first thinking modes down.
Uh-huh.
You're
saying there's
one? Once you turn on the vertex term, it's reshuffled all your mass spectrum.
But why only one and not two states to get coming down in that reshuffling? Can I understand that as a symmetry or an approximate symmetry?
I would say that that light mode is not really taking the lightest mode down. That lightest mode is actually a collective combination of all your previous thinking modes.
I'm happy for that, but why didn't two of them come down rather than one in that collective combination? And what was special about that one mode to make it so light? I'd like to go abstract away. If I'm making a model like this, what is it that I need to have? But I don't see it yet.
Do you have some localization?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a localization of the wave function for the lighting sketching?
Yeah.
I mean, if you have some localization at the IR brain, then you may explain about the emergent beings.
So you're thinking that there's some bound state against the brain in the only one?
I wonder if you have such.
Sorry. Yeah.
I have my question. This is a simple question. In the standard Higgs model, everything works basically at the tree level to start with. And if you bring SU2 plus U went down to U1 and S1 plus, by assuming that the scalar field transforms like an isotope. And what it gives you is that rho prime to rho equals M.
Yeah, I'll talk about it.
MZ squared over MK squared cos squared theta equal to 1, close to 1. Do you get that?
Yeah.
Now the question is, how many parameters do you need to fix to get it?
Well, the thing is, because I'll tell you that there is a custodial symmetry here. So with a custodial symmetry, you don't really need to do this. In the WKX model, the reason that you can get the row very close to 1 naturally is because you have a
custodial symmetry for a double case. So once you have a custodial symmetry, you don't need
to change things to get to the normal. I'll show more.
How many parameters do you have?
I have this. 3
for each term. 1, 2, 3, Z, Z, Q.
Yeah.
3 frames. Well, the Zs are the basic parameters.
Yeah.
You have to adjust those to get the right ones.
I adjust them to get the right max, but that's the relation. The relation. You get a row of one that can only be symmetric. Here's the WZ profile in the 5D. This is the W profile, the legal profile. You can see they are peak at IR, so it's indeed dual composites. And the higher KP modes have novel masses from a TV scale and suppress the IR coupling due to the mechanic terms of coupling.
So if you plot it the same plot the next excited state, what would it do?
I don't have a plot here.
Does it come down? Or is
no,
it?
No, it's. I think it's something like this. It will have some suppression because this string tension for higher mass term, slightly have a bounded mass to the problem. So they have some suggestion here, but mostly in the profile, it's worth it. They have some suggestion.
You get the same light, you don't need to adjust any of these values of zeta to be equal to each other. So if you say zeta q is large and zeta l is large, but they're not large and equal to each other.
They're comparables.
So they don't have to be exactly equal, they're not ordered, no. As long as they're ordered, same order.
So here, for one of the models to meet reality, then we do the quick precision test. First, I'll talk about the different things that we interest. The key parameter is to characterize the deviation from this mass phase coupling relation, this rho equals 1. The common law that the sufficient protection requires a custodial SO2 symmetry, which ensures degenerative MW and Z mass at when you turn off the UYY phase coupling. This is automatic in standard model of Higgs because this has the Higgs potential has a large SO for symmetry, which can accommodate a custodial SO2. For most of the new models, people need to add an additional global SO2 to the vector weight symmetry group. For example, in most RS models, you need an additional bulk SO2. However, there's no need for additional custodial group for our model. SU2 itself is zero. Might be a bit surprising, but first it's RWZ are true KK modes. So their their masses are correlated by the bulk SU2 symmetry once you do the dimensional reduction. It's unlike other RS models with a WZ originate from elementary zero mode and gas mass only from IR boundaries, so there's no bulk symmetry to correlate their masses. In the 40-year picture, you can see that the masses originated from CFT grating at IR, which breaks this emergent local SU2. But the boundary at IR still preserved this global. Preserve this global SU2 symmetry. So we can also recall the story for rho mass and QCD. On confinement, we still have this SU2 diagonal survives as a global symmetry. The emerge SU2 local is broken in the sense that the rho mass and gap masses, however, is still degenerated, but almost degenerate due to this unbroken global SU2. The other oblique parameter for the precision test is S parameter. This is telling us the amount of new physics contribution to the wave function normalization. Typically, S parameter is a challenge for Higgs-based models because it roughly goes like the KK coupling versus the KK mass square. In Technicolor, for its factor variations, G is typically big and MN relatively light. So gives you S of order 1, which is way too big according to the data. Also, although there are solutions to reduce S, there's always a tension between S parameter and the WW scattering unit transition. Because in most of these models, perturbative unitarity of WW spectrum prefers light KK modes. Thus, they take the sum over KK modes as a substitution of light peaks. So, this actually kills the hope to reduce S to the desired value by lifting MKK. However, there's no such tension in our model because we rely on different unit transition scheme, that is, the form factor suppression. Although the detailed work is still in progress. So because we don't really rely on light KK unitries, there's innocuous to reduce as by leaking the KK mass, or it can be achieved by increasing for the breaking picture.
Will you elaborate on that last point?
Mm-hmm.
Because supposing I take, I integrate out everything down to and including the first excited KK states that are not W and Z. So I've got a four-dimensional theory now with a W and a Z. There's no light scalars or anything in that theory, right?
Yeah.
So then I don't know how heavy this next state is, but it sounds like it's going to be heavier than, it can be heavier than 120 dV.
Yeah.
So what in that effective theory, how do I see when you miniaturize the, yeah, you're saying it's form factor, but what exactly is the form factor?
I'll talk about that
in
later.
Okay, I'll wait for you to do that.
So now we need to match to center model and do this calculation. So first, when do the matching, we need a Siderian realistic assumption for fermion. In this paper, we assume that they are only average. First, they cannot be only UV because we know that W is vanished there. Exactly on IR is not really realistic either because we can write down the fermion mass term compatible with IR symmetry.
So what is FW?
The W profile.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if the fermion is exactly on IR ring, we know the symmetry, electric symmetry is not broken there. So if you write down the mass term, then that's incompatible with the symmetry there. So this is only a good approximation in the sense that the realistic expectation is the fermion is in the bulk. It touches UV grain to feel symmetry breaking there. But the profile peaks towards IR. Then it would allow a non-zero mass and also ensure almost universal gauge couplings. I'll talk more about the progress on fermion sector in later slides. Another important thing is we also need a normalization factor for brain interaction. This is important for 5G coupling perturbativity and not seen really addressed in the existing references when they use brain picture. So the idea is we can write the bulk field interaction as this G5 psi gamma psi. So now the 5D component is broken on the brain. So related brain tank term can have different brain factors compared to this bulk term. You could have a zeta factor right on the brain interaction term. This is an analogy to brain kinetic term and consistent with symmetries. Also, it's actually a correlation between brain kinetic term and this brain interaction term. Because brain kinetic term essentially is a field renormalization on the brain. You rescale this A field by this Z factor. And once you have this, you automatically induce rescaling for brain interaction terms involving whatever involving this A field as well. According to practically, it's just F terminal depth fraction. So it's reasonable to expect that whenever we have larger brain kinetic terms, we also expect the presence of larger brain. Whenever we have a larger brain kinetic term, also expect a larger brain interaction terms. So here is the explicit matching to center model by looking at the covariant coupling, a gauge coupling, the covariant derivative of this SU2 W fermion IR brain. And by matching to center model, we find these matching relations. Here, we just briefly talk about the 5D perturbativity. With the parameters, we find the we'll show later the fitting precision electrode test its G5 square K is about 400 over kilo square. And the 5G for the longevity requires that this G5 square K should be smaller than about 50. And this, so we can see that with the range reference term around all the time, we can easily get all the matchings in a perturbative 5G theorem. So the ST parameter could be calculated explicitly in the 5G model. By definition, this is the S parameter, and we just need to work out the wave function renormalization by doing this bulk integral across the free kinetic term contribution. Analytically, we have this rough relation, and indeed we see the expected KK mass suppression, because this ZIR is about 1 over FKK. This is the key parameter definition formula, and you can work it out by looking at the integral of the derivative square. In memory, you will find that with the IR scale 1.8 TeV, you have a S about 0.1 and T 0.5. If you look at the left contour, this can fit the data pretty well. And it can please confirm the built-in projection mechanism we discussed earlier. Now we come to the some preliminary study of the fiber signature in this scenario. The first thing you would look for a new model is the new states. So we have the, that is the KK photon is about 3 TeV, and the first W prime, Z prime is about 6 TeV.
So you just said it could be 1.8?
That's the IR scale.
The IR scale, okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
You could also look at deviation from standard model prediction. In particular, the high energy WW scattering. In standard model, the e to the fourth growth immediately canceled by exact gauge symmetry. But this e to the square divergence remains. In a picture where the gauge symmetry is emergent, this gauge symmetry or this cancellation is only valid at the lower end. So we can expect seeing gauge violation effects at a higher energy. This suggests that this amplitude may grow faster than the e to the square before the unit transition. Meanwhile, there is an opposite force that could eventually help unitize the form factor suppression. Goes like the q to the minus magnitude of power of energy scale. Intuitively, you can imagine that for composite particle, there's a finite size associated with them. So once you scatter them at higher energy, this finiteness of the size become important, because you could imagine that when you scatter at high energy, there's a Lorentz contraction of this finite size, and they need to shrink in order to scatter. One way you could think that the cross-section is a non-dimension two quantity, and once you have this Lorentz contraction induced a shrinking effect, your cross-section also have an associated suppression because it's a dimension two quantity. We already see examples from the high-energy elastic scattering of QCD cations of this form factor suppression for the scattering at high scale. Also, here's this formal paper by Kortinsky and Stressler, and they talk about the deep elastic scattering in gauge string duality. They also some conflicting discussion of this effect. So this could lead into a falling amplitude at the unit transition scale.
So I haven't read that paper, so what's that, how does that work? So you're saying that the coefficient of the kinetic term, I don't know how you're normalizing things, but the I guess if you can canonically normalize the gauge field in the five dimensions, then the one in the bulk has got a coefficient which has got dimensions of mass and power. And you're saying that if I calculate the cross section involving that kinetic term, I'm going to see that there's a, because of the extra power of mass, whatever it is, I get extra power as energy. And there, the power is a subset, I get more one over energy, more power than one over energy than I would have had before. Is that
yeah.
What you're saying?
So another collider, type of collider signature we might see is the normal features of substructure as a consequence of this hadronic WZ, which we can see if we could do in, we can have a big inelastic scattering on these hadrons. A solid ADS-CLP duality implies that the
4D
dual is unit strong
power
theory.
So I think I know the power now. Wasn't it the wrong way? So if I have a kinetic term in the higher dimensions, and I canonically normalize it, so its coefficient is 1/4, then if I go to a lower dimensional ring, then the coefficient of that same kinetic term has to be an inverse power of mass of dimensional grounds.
Yeah.
I've got fewer D for it. So that means that my cross section, if it's depending on, if it's proportional to that interaction somehow, should be have additional powers of mass in the denominator, which would be compensated by more powers of energy in the numerator, it seems like. I must be thinking quite wrong. Or is the logic that you're starting, is this specific to scattering of the lowest zero emotions on the brain, so I should be thinking of...
No, it's a general.
Is it general?
Yeah. I mean, this is pretty general. You didn't, I mean, not in those models. If you have the composite, if you go to the high scale, I mean, at low scale, you basically see them as a quantized particle. And once you go to the high energy, this finiteness of the size becomes important.
But you're saying that doesn't happen until 8 TV or something, or 6 TV, because that's what the next time state comes in. So if I, it sounds like I would have an effective theory below that.
Well, I would expect this to happen around 1 TV, so that it can be trans.
Well, that's where you'd like it to happen, but you're making the case that that's what actually does happen. So the thing is that's what's puzzling, is that you're saying you've taken the next state and you've pushed it systematically up compared to the TV. And so in the effective four-dimensional theory, it has below 6 TV or 3 TV, whatever it is. It seems like I've got a unitary problem in that theory. There must be, if I just take the cut, in that four-dimensional theory, the unitary limit must be in the TV-ish limit, right? It's the regime. So it's, why is that? Does that mean that things are kind of saturating the unitary bound for that range between 1 and 3 TV, and you're saying I shouldn't really worry about the fact that a couple TV amongst friends shouldn't make a difference because it's going to saturate eventually? Or is it, so that would mean that if I was in that four-dimensional theory, I just see something that look like it's going really badly wrong, but it's because I'm just about to see all the fine limits there. Is that what's going on, or?
No, I don't think this
four-dimensional
question is related to this.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to understand the party line that you mentioned in the previous slide was that you need something at a few TeV to unitarize everything. Because otherwise, in this effective theory, you've got a unitarity bound that's running bad.
Oh, yeah, that's the model for the dual tapping current.
Right, but there you advertise that your later form factor thing is going to be what fixes it. So now we're at form factor things, I'm trying to see why it fixes it. The way you're describing it is it sounds like the form factor thing has all to do with seeing the higher dimensional fluid defined states. So seeing the, not just the lowest state, I have to see the excited states too to see that I'm in the higher dimensions and I get this extra power of Q. And so it seems like if you've made those fluid defined states high enough, then there's a puzzle because in the effective four dimensional theory below those states, I don't see them yet, so I should still be seeing the unitarity problem. So somehow either the four-dimensional theory somehow knows the news that it's coming from this theory that's magically the main problem, or the cutoff is really they're not so high. 6 dB might not be high enough that I can really think that I cut at 1 dB. Maybe I'm so close to the cutoff that I have to worry about these. The effects of these explosive fine states might already be there. I don't know which is the right picture.
I think what you told me before was that essentially when you calculate vertices, they're kind of momentum for some overlap integral. So if you look at a triple gauge Bose effects that comes from this guy, it depends on momentum.
And in this effective theory, then that would be some higher derivative operator or something. Is that the idea?
Yeah, it's like
the
sum of words.
But so then the Lagrangian isn't really just f mu, but maybe f mu with derivatives in there in various places, and that's what's giving you the extra amount of time. That makes it sound like you're actually your expansion in your effective operator is not working very well because you're actually needing these higher terms.
But you actually put higher than the operator. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you didn't have
in the action, I write when I work on the mass spectrum, I only have the
right.
Higher terms. But
right.
When I want to work on this,
so then you need to put higher than the operator.
But the actual calculation, this is work in progress, but the actual calculation we want is to calculate the finding property. And you can work out these form factors from the finding correlates.
It's the
APF to
regime.
It's not the APF, so the scale that's in that form factor must be the closest finding step that I keep using the implement. It's Q squared divided by something, and that something is 6 dB.
I don't think this is directly related to the TV field. I mean, it's just if you think about the WTS component themselves, if they could have, you go to high energy, you could have the energy dependence of form factor in the interaction problem themselves.
But can I parametrically make that W prime and Z prime higher and higher and higher? And still keep lower to your new term, which is turning money.
Yeah, I think so. Because
but wouldn't that be a paradox? Because then it seems like as I do that, I've got a better and better approximation to think of this thing as a four-dimensional theory without those explosive fine states, because they're going to be coupled. But they should be coupled, except that the unitarity is failing on me in that effective theory. So that sounds like they shouldn't be allowed to decouple, so they shouldn't be allowed to get that on.
But there could be two scales, the scale of force applied flows and the scale of the higher dimensional operators that make this non-local, right? At some point. I don't know if there is a scaling of the parameters in the model which you can increase the gap and maintain the, that's what worries you, right?
Whatever that small scale is, that's infinite, right? Is that a particle mass? Or is that?
Well, it's not a big deal, right? We're talking about 6 dB, but the utilization would start at 1 dB, right?
Right, so that might be the answer. I mean, the
yeah. I have a related question. In the standard Higgs model, the unitarity is obtained by including a Higgs exchange graph, V plus V minus a WW in longitude, WWW in longitude. It all comes out. And in particular, you get agreement with the low energy electroweak data, which is very accurate. It's particularly sine squared theta, forward backward asymmetry, and atomic parity. And also E plus E minus cross sections, so the WW from left to a node to 0.5% accuracy. So your form factor, are you putting this in by hand? Because at low energies, you don't want it to do anything effectively. It's only when you get above a TeV that you need this thing to suppress unitarity violations. So how is this predicted, or is it put in by hand? How do you do it? What are you predicting?
This can be predicted from I really work hard on the 5D correlation functions. That's work in progress, but it can be predicted. But this, I just showed you some intuitive explanation for why I expect these functions.
you don't want the form factors to do anything until you get above a TEV. How do you get that to work? I don't see that. This is why people believe in the standard Higgs plot. I don't necessarily. But when you do the calculations, it all comes out as it should, as predicted. And you get agreement with the very accurate low engine and makes a weak data. And I don't see how that comes out of this.
She hasn't put the fairness yet. Necessarily have to discuss atomic parity because she hasn't specified where the fermions are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but when you do www, not the two, understand more.
But for that, she has exactly the same mechanism as you, right? Mm-hmm. It's a form factor.
Yeah, but mine works.
But it's not the roots, right?
You can read the same.
She's saying form factor, you're saying form factor.
No, I agree, but it works.
All right.
It's predicted.
And she hasn't put any fermions yet, so.
Not
frozen. Okay. So at this point, is it the same, right?
Well.
Unless you can calculate your form factor.
You have to predict them from what you've done. And it has to agree with the very precise low energy data.
Yeah, fine. The model and the right or wrong, and they calculate their form factor and they have statements, right? So they have predictions for WW scattering and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. What I'm going to say is that this can be predicted from the 5D model, but there's
work
to be done.
Yeah, sure.
Right. I mean, but you can calculate it, right? You can
calculate
from the 5D model. You can look at the 4D theory and actually compute the form factor.
In the case, there are some areas continuing work. They could compute the form factor from 5D. It's just an example for obviously. It's not continue with this novel features of substructure if you could look at taking elastic scattering. So we want this duality to be solid, the 4D dual should be a Unistrony type of gauge theory. There's no known physics like this, because the QCD is symptomatic free. So most relevant reference by now is still this bubble paper and also in Susie concept. But they have some interesting results. The interesting message to take is that partons in hadron with a large root coupling theory has a large splitting rate due to the strong coupling. So except for a very small X region, effectively there is no parton inside the hadrons. And at high energy, the whole hadron needs to shrink to a smaller size to scatter coherently. And this is a kinematic suppression due to compositeness. So the picture here is that if you do deep inelastic scattering on this unistrong coupled hadrons, you don't break up them like what you see in the QCD.
You mean you can't treat the scattering like scattering of fire singulars? Is that what you're saying?
The thing is, because they are the partons in the hadron with strong UV coupling, they have a very large splitting rate. So once they could carry a cosmic X fraction of energy, they just split down to more partons with us to the smaller energy. So if you look at the moderate X regime, you just don't see the partons, you only see the color neutral stars. But in QCD, because these partons are weakly coupled at UV, so when you probe them, you could see an individual partons. But if it's strongly coupled, they just tend to split for the stars. So to complete the framework, we need to include the start of the fermion sector. The homework here is to realize a hierarchical mass with almost the universal gauge coupling. The solution we find is we can start with a zero mode fermion profile, peaking on the IR, so I have an exponential suppression at UV. And then we put on a hierarchical UV in Kawa. This hierarchical structure could be explained as a block at Nelson like mechanism on the UV. A special feature for fermion zero mode is that they can have very different profiles depending on the bulk mass. And roughly goes like this. So naive estimation of mass, once you turn on the UV in power, go like this formula. You can see that with a C equal to zero here, you automatically get this M, this Y, K spam scale, e to the minus A, Y, I, R. So with this C equal to zero, you automatically, an order one in power, you automatically get a TV mass for the fermion. This is actually the same magic for working we see from solving hierarchy problem from RS model, where you get a TV scale from this work down factor from the time scale. And then the lesser fermion mass could be accomplished when you have a smaller recovery that could be explained by Frank and Nelson on the UV. The gauge coupling universality could also be a challenge. Because usually this is automatic if you have a flat gauge profile, that's for the elementary gauge fields. So here, once the fermions get canonically normalized, you automatically get universal gauge coupling. But for our model, because the gauge profile is not flat, we first need a universal universal fermion bulk mass because it determines this bulk profile. However, because you have very different UV power, you would expect there could be some non-universality from this UV effect. But one thing that you may not be too worried about is because the profile is exponentially suppressed there on the UV. So the non-universality could also be worked on. So some of the preliminary results of our problem for the fermion sector is that the hierarchical structure of mass can be achieved with almost universal coupling. For light fermions, they can increase the experimental data well, but we can expect larger z-top of non-universality, and this could be testable prediction.
How much?
So the preliminary thing is be about 0.1%.
0.1%.
Or maybe
less. You're going to test this. How are you going to test this coupling to 0.1%?
Well, one thing is you can think about
most standard model couplings at lab I have a test with a 0.1% group percent maybe.
now I come to the conclusion. Here we explore a new scenario explaining the mass origin of standard model particles without the Higgs. Standard model WZ is a composite getting mass from fragments of substructure at IR. Fermions can also be incorporated in the framework as composites. So here the electroweak gauge symmetry that is breaking become IR emergent phenomena. Using the SCMT, we build a calculable 5D morph model for the electroweak symmetry breaking in some DB. And realistic mass spectrum can be achieved by turning on breakneck terms. We also do precision electroweak tests for the model and find there are some filtering mechanisms to ensure good fits for ST parameters. The composite nature of WZ can also offer a novel solution for WW scaling unit transition and predict some deviation from standard model, which can lead to distinctive signatures by the MC. So this scenario might give us some novel prospects at the LHC. Maybe we could find a new world hidden inside the standard model. It could unravel the mystery of standard model mass origin. We can get to a deeper level of substructure in nature. And maybe we can also find realistic evidence proof of deep principles of nature in standard model itself, like non-fundamentality of gauge symmetry. This two types of dualities, ADS-CFT and cyber-type duality, that originally descended from the theoretical labs.
Thank you. One of the problems I have with the standard Higgs model is that in a classical Yukawa Lagrangian, which by the way has 12 adjustable parameters, it's a coupling constant for each of the 12 Cox electrons. It's not clear how you can get the predictive Fermi mass spectrum, which is really what we want to do here. And one theory that predicts the Fermi mass spectrum. You can't do that from a classical Yukawa Lagrangian. So in your case, can you predict the Fermi mass spectrum sometime in the future? Because you seem to have a classical Lagrangian. So you need something like a Schrodinger equation, Eigenvalue equation, to get a mass spectrum, like the hydrogen.
You mean the hierarchical? You explain the hierarchical structure of only just the to give you the fermion mass. I mean, for the fermion mass, we can explicitly work out the. And I just showed some this for intuitive explanation, but we can work out this the mass spectrum explicitly by putting this.
The Yukawa daily covered condition, boundary condition, and the solution for the boundary motion, and then you add this boundary condition, you can solve for this, and then from your mass. So, be able to someday be able to predict, get the final mass.
Yeah, I can get the mass spectrum with my UV Yukawa and my first I know the UV Yukawa and my bulk profile, the bulk mass. I can explicitly calculate the mass. But the thing that if you want to explain why the fermion has hierarchical mass, that would need something like a problem Nelson on the UV. With the mass, I can explicitly calculate once I have this.
Very quickly, what happens to Fermi violation in the model? This is a very tight curve, which gets technical into trouble.
Oh, I think the Fermi violation, the thing is, you if you, you have your, the new physics space is heavier, then you can get a more suppression in flavor and biology. In general, they have some light supply space. So
do you satisfy the frame changing neutral current path, which is very tight experiment?
We haven't explicitly checked that, but the thing is,
this thing you should check, because that's what kills a lot of these models.
We have some check for the fermion operator. So you could have two fermions exchange a heavier space and then go to another two fermions. And I think that the bound for the less of the intermediate state of the UTV, but usually the copying for those for the normal RS, the copying of the picking mode to the fermion is usually relatively large. So since your bound come from G over M squared, but in our case, because of the heavier picking mode, is also the copying also gets a suppression from the ring atom induced reality. So the copying is reduced, and our KD scale is also tipping higher. So the G over, if you look at our G over M squared, it's compatible with those.
Any other questions?
Okay.
Well, thank you.